Be'ez Hashem Yisboch, we begin Perek Asir, the 10th chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Zechiyah Matan, and the laws of acquisitions and of gifts, and the Sevikin, the book of acquisitions. Where in this Perek, we continue the theme of the previous Perek regarding the laws of the Matan Shchimra, the gifts of a dying person. Where Rambam begins Halacha off regarding the concept that the words of a Shchimra, of a dying person, are like they were written as if it was given already. As Rambam begins, Shchimra Sha'amar, a dying person that says, Tnu Manul Plani, give that $100 to that person. But Mason, he dies, Yidnu Lacha Mason, you give it after he's dead. Why? Although generally you can't make a king after the person's dead. The reason is, because the words of a dying person is kiksuvin v'kimisur medami. It's as if it was written and as if it was given already. And moreover, we're not concerned shema mono kabur ho'im. Maybe he was talking about some buried $100 bill. So go ahead and find that. No, we're saying it's regarding one of the things of his assets that we know of, and we give of that $100. Halacha base. Chen shchimra shama soto, a dying person says, Hava, a loan, a pekodin, or deposit, sheyesh li biat plani, that I have by that person, meaning that person owes me that money, tnu is l'plani, they give it to that person. Rav Kayam, his words are valid. And ve'in tzorach l'mamet shloshim, generally you can't go ahead and acquire a debt that someone owes unless it's in the presence of all those three parties. You don't need mamet shloshim. This is automatic, like we're saying for the shchimra. Chen ma'amet sotopi says, tnu shtar plani l'plani, give that document to that person. Zacha b'ma sheyesh b'shtar, he merits, he acquires what is in that document. V'ki'ilu kasav masa, as if it was written, this idea, this rights that the recipient is getting, and as if it was given over. Av b'shle masha chashtar, even though the guy didn't take and draw the shtar, the document. And moreover, v'in ha'yerish yochel limcha shtar zeh, the inheritors cannot pardon the debt of that document, shenit shchimra, which was given from the gift of their dead, of their dying father, the shchimra. Now, the question is, Neymo, why is this? If someone sells or gifts a document of a debt to his friend, that person can collect that debt. And then Allah is v'chazr machal, subsequently the inheritors go out and they pardon that debt. Machal, it's pardoned, and that person who got it or bought it cannot collect anything with it. Yet a shchimra, yet as we're saying over here, a dying person, if he gave the document of the debt, and it wasn't even given over yet, in the Yerusha Chalimchal, why are we saying the inheritors cannot pardon it? The reason is, Nishikinyan Hara'oi Bashtar Medivrayim. That is halacha regarding the content that's written in the document is not something that's real. It's only from rabbinic halacha that you're requiring, because there's nothing, this is a piece of paper. The acquisition of a document which proves a debt is only rabbinic acquisition. Therefore, Hayyirish, the inheritors in general, Adayin in Zahashtar Shalohu in the Torah, biblically, it's still the inheritors, because the debt is owed to the inheritors, to the estate. What this guy sold is a piece of paper. But rabbinically, that works. So biblically, it's still theirs, and therefore, Meichel, they could pardon it. Yerumat Neshchimer, but the gift of a dying person, Av Bishim Debrim, although it's from rabbinic law, also Isaac Kishal Torah, they made it like as if it has biblical standing. That's as if the recipient already acquired the monies that's in the documents from biblical law, as if it's already that person's. So therefore, initially, yours were Kenyan. So now the inheritors don't have any remaining acquisitions and rights in this property. They can't pardon anymore, and therefore, it's better than in general. What happens if, let's say, the dying person didn't explicitly say to give it? If a dying person says, there's $100 for that person that's by me. So Imam, if he says to give it, so nice, and you give it. Loim to if he didn't say give it, ain't nice, and you don't give it. What do you mean? Didn't he say it's that person's that's by him? Yeah, but Shemalei Amam on the Yeshlo playing the Yadi. Maybe the reason why he said that that person, that person $100 is by me. That's El Kedish Shelo Yoyim Ral Yosef. That shouldn't people shouldn't say regarding his narratives. Oh, Sheshlo Mamon, the guy's dying. He left over a lot of money. He says, Nah, I owe that guy $10 million. I owe that guy $13 million. But really, doesn't. It just doesn't want people to say that. So if he doesn't say give, then that was not his intention to give. Halachadah, lefikach, therefore. Imam is a der chayda, but if he says in the way of admission, where it's recognizable for what he's saying, that he's really coming to admit that he owes people money, and v'lohoyushim chashash haram, there was no concern of subterfuge that really he's just trying to trick people. No, then nice, and then you give it. Alf bishlam etnu, even though he doesn't explicitly have the words to give. Halachayikiyetz by simile. Let's say you know Saviyim, Shehit Min Mois. Let's say they saw their father hid money, Beshida, table, Migdal, certain types of boxes and containers and closets. Vamani says, look, kids, don't touch this. Shaplainhin, it's that person's. Or Shamaisa Shainhin, these are Maisa Shaini produce. Imka Maisa, so if it's like where he's giving it over in the way of a command, so the Rav Kayama, so his words are valid, it's that person's words of Maisa Shaini. But imkamadim, but if it's like subterfuge, he just doesn't want that pit to think, oh, Tati has so much money. So lo yamaklum, he hasn't said anything. It's not really my strange, it's not really that person's. It's just that he just didn't want them to think that they're so wealthy. So too, in other words, that besides for what we said before, that if he's saying like as if he's giving over a command, then he's believed, there are other situations also that even if he doesn't say explicitly that, like as if it's command, but from the context you could realize, in bo echad v'amalhem, if an individual comes along and says to the Yarshim, look, ani reisas avichim, I saw your father, sheit min mois b'shidat b'meidol, that he hid this money away in this container, in this box, in this safe. V'amal, he said to me when I was there, shaploinehin, this is that person's. Shamaisein, it's maisa money. So it depends. If this money was hidden away in the house, in a place where the witness on his own cannot have gotten access to it, Shalom HaKlum hasn't said anything, because the fact of one person saying testimony cannot extract the money from these inheritors to say that, oh, it doesn't belong to them, it belongs to that person that this guy's claiming that the father said. But if it's basadeh, if it was out in the field, in the place where he himself could have taken it, then Dvarav Kriyam and his words are valid because he has what's called a migli. That since he could have taken himself and done as he thinks, always claiming that the dead person's had said, Siri is believed to say that this is what the father said. So even though the father didn't say his words like meister, like commanding, we're not concerned that maybe he just didn't want the children to think this because he only said it from the one witness and that one person could have taken himself. So for sure what he was saying was definitive words and therefore it's going to go to that person or it's going to be meister. Which calls Shadavah that the rule of it is as follows. Had that one person been able to take it, then what he's saying is valid. Because he could have, so he would have done without even telling the family. But if you can't, it's in the house. He hasn't said anything, we don't believe that. Halacha Zayin. Let's say there was an individual that was in pain regarding money that his father left him over, but he doesn't know where his father hid the money. And then in the dream they said to him, "Kach v'kachin, it's this and this money, but mokum plainehin, it's in that place. V'shal plainehin, but it's from that person's. V'shal ma'isa shenehin, or it's actually ma'isa sheni funds. U'mitzad mokum plainehin shenemalei, and actually found the money's in the place that was told to him in the dream. U'v'minish shenemalei, it's actually was the same exact amount. Zehoi ma'isa, was such a story, but m'chachom, the sage said, Dibachalim is the words of dreams, doesn't take it up, doesn't take it down, doesn't make a difference. In other words, he found the money, he could keep it because it's his father's, and we don't have to listen to the words of the dream that said, but it's that person's or it's that of Maaser Sheni. Halacha Ches, what happens if the dying person makes an admission, and the orphans, however, say that they already fulfilled what their father admitted to? So a dying person, specifically, not that he said, but he admitted, which we said that's important in the context, that person has by him that he owes that person 100 zuz. And the orphan said, yes, but subsequently our father said to us, I paid him up. In other words, when he said he owes the guy 100 zuz, he thought that he still owed him. Then he remembered that he paid him up. So the orphans are believed to say that the father retracted. But if they make a rabbinic oath, like anyone who denies entire claim of the other people saying, hey, your father admitted to us that he owes the money. Now, alecha tes, but let's say Amar Tenu, let's say he didn't just say that he has $100 that belongs to that other person. He says, give it. V'amu Yisrael, the orphans say, chazav amal nabina, that subsequent father said to us, parativ, that, I really paid him up. Ein amanim, they're not believed, because since he said Tenu, why is he give it? That must mean that he really thought about it and he realized that he didn't pay it up. So therefore, they're not believed subsequently to say that he said that that he remembered that he paid him up. Halacha yod. Omar, let's say it says money plain to be yadi. That $100 belongs to that person. The orphan said yes, but nisanu, we gave it to that person. So ain't amanim, they're not believed. Because he didn't say in this situation give it. And therefore, how do they know that they're obligated to give it? If you don't say Tenu, there's no reason to think that you have to, like we said before. And therefore, most definitely, they thought that he only said it that they shouldn't appear to be wealthy. And therefore, they for sure didn't give it. And therefore, they're not believed to say that they actually gave it. Halacha Rav Amar, let's say it says Tenu, give it. V'ami Yisrael, the orphan said, Nasan, we gave it. Then they're believed, because he said to give it, and they're going to do what their father says. But there's a bunch who has Hesesh and Nasan, and therefore they can make a rabbinic oath that they did give, and they did what their father said for them to do it. Halacha Beis continues regarding as these halachas apply to when there's a shlichas, an agency. Let's say the dying person gave one mana to one person. And he said to him, bring this $100 to that person. Now that person goes and he finds that the recipient is dead. So it depends. If that person was alive at the time when the dying person had given him the money, then he could have been an agent to acquire for the merit of the recipient. So then you give it to the inheritors of the one that it was sent to. Because the words of the dying person are like written as given over. The moment that he said it was already that person's. So even though by the time he got there, he was dead, but he was alive at that point when it was said, and therefore he gets it. I mean, he's not alive, give it to his inheritors. But if it turns out he wasn't alive at the time when the dying person said it, and you give it back to the inheritors of the one who sent him, because there's no acquisition for a dead person, he wasn't alive at that time, the recipient. Halachat Gimel, regarding the precedence, regarding when he's giving out multiple gifts, who gets first? So Shechid Merashamar, a dying person who says, Tnu Masai Mezuzah Plenty. Okay, give 200 Zuz to that person. Shalesh Mezuzah Plenty, give 300 to that person. Rabbi Mezuzah Plenty, give 400 to that person. So Einem, we don't say, oh, HaKoyed Mishtar Zacha. They're writing a document of who he said what first. We don't say whether it's earlier in the document merits first. It's very simply because a person just can't say two things at the same time. But he wants it all to happen at the same time. It's just that he had to say one thing before the other. So Lefikach, therefore, Im Lohinich Shameis, if he did not leave over 900, because he said 200, 300, 400, so that's 900. If he did not leave over 900, so what do you do? So Chalkin Animtza Lefima Shekazam. So he actually divided according to the ratio, to the proportion of what it is that he wrote to them. So obviously, no one's going to get the full amount, but proportionally, they're going to get according to the amounts that he gave them. Moreover, let's say there was an outstanding debt on the dying person. So Gez Mekulim, that creditor could collect from them all, because they all receiving the gift at the same time. Each one, proportionally according to what was written to them, it goes percentage-wise. So let's say the debt was 450. So Bala Moy is the one who was getting 200, nice to me, he gives 100. Obala Shlesh Meis is the one who is getting 300, maybe Chamisha, he gives 150. So it's more, but it's proportionally, it's each one's giving half, which is going to half of what they're getting. Ubala Arba Meis, the 400 ones, they're nice to me, to give them 200. So the total is going to come out to the 450, but each one is giving proportionally to the amount that they're getting. Now, Halachi Dal Avol, but Im Amar, if he said, Tnu Masai Mezuzah Plenty, give 200 Zuz to that person. V'achrav, and here he says, and after that, Shlesh Meis Plenty, give 300 to that person. V'achrav, Arba Meis Plenty, and then 400 to that other person. Oh, then Kol HaKoyed Mishnah Zachar, whoever's written earlier in the document, merits it, because he wrote that it should be afterwards, and therefore, if let's say there's not enough left over, so the first one takes his gift, and then afterwards, and so on and so forth. The figure, therefore, let's say there's a document of debt that goes out against the dead person, so the last one was the last available free, what's called Nochasim B'nei Chayrin, that's the last one you collect from. Einloi, if there's still not enough from the collections, Gav Mishlefani, you collect from the one before that, and Einloi is not enough, Gav Mishlefani, you collect from the one from before that one. Halachat Zvav, regarding a gift that doesn't have substance to it. So Shechid Merashama, let's say a dying person says, Yodah Ployni B'vayseh, oh, let that person live in this house. Or Yodah Ployni Pays Degazah, let that person eat the fruits of this tree. Well, Mekumi hasn't said anything. Because Shalihiknalim Dovashish B'mash, he has not acquired for them something that of substance. Because Shadid B'achila B'kidzman, dwelling and eating and things like that, Hadin Kadiba B'chashen, it's like speaking and like sleeping, Shaynikn, which cannot be acquired even by a healthy person with a full acquisition. There's nothing to acquire. But if he says, Tnu Bayezel Plini, give this house to that person, Kadesh Yodabayatzman Plini, they should dwell in it until that time. Or Tnu Dekelzel Plini, or give that palm day tree to that person, Kadesh Yochabariv, that he should eat the fruits, the Rav Kriyam, and then his words are fulfilled. Shode Hiknulim Haguf Laperis, because he has acquired to them the body, the physical object for its produce. Vahaguf Dovishesh Bramamish, and that house, that tree, is something of substance. If he says anything, something like that, then he'll be able to acquire.